Good afternoon. I'm Hernan, and I'm a physics grad student at Caltech working with Rob. And basically, for the last 2.5 years, what I've been doing is kind of migrating from pure physics into physical biology. And I thought that, well, I've gone through a lot of courses, I've taught courses, and I thought I could give you maybe kind of unique view from the trenches. So, of what my impressions were of so far in my education. So
should Rob leave the premises?
No, that's okay. His feelings might get hurt a little bit, but that's okay. So I'm gonna start by just giving a brief intro.
Leave him on the web and then get
that's true. So yeah, I would have to myself. So I'm gonna start by telling you who I am, just briefly. I mean, just where I came from and stuff like that. But then I'm gonna center the talk mainly in a. I'm gonna have it in a chronological order, basically going through the courses I've taken, through the courses I've taught, and telling you what I found that was really good about it, but actually focusing a little bit more on what led me down from about those courses, what things I think should have been done better, and that they can be done better. Then I'm going to tell you about this really cool experience that Rob mentioned a little bit during his talk, which was attending the MBO physiology course last year. And it was just, it was just a great experience. And I learned, it's amazing how much I learned, how much it changed the way I do research and the way I teach. And finally, I'm going to see if we can agree, or at least I'm going to have my set of ideas or ingredients. How do you make a physical biology? All right. So, where I come from, I did my undergrad in physics in Buenos Aires, in Argentina, where you basically just do physics. It's like 27 courses of physics or math, that's all. So then I moved to Caltech and to do my PhD in the physics department. But I ended up working with Rob, who's in APH and a couple more departments, and now we're working in that building, basically surrounded by biologists. So there's been a change. Basically, I've gone through this kind of stuff that I don't know in my undergrad thesis, which is design, building lasers, to being interested in how cells make decisions. Yeah.
It's on, but I think the egg's actually flat later. It's not pointed all the way out.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. Yeah. All right. As long as people can read my lips from the website. All right. So basically, I became interested in how cells make decisions, and in particular, there's this thing about, are we okay?
Yeah.
On how DNA mechanics might be relevant to those decisions. All right. Okay. So how did I start being in contact with biology or physical biology? Well, so far my experience has to do with two departments, but what I would say is that in both departments, both in Argentina and at Caltech, biology has always been an elective course, a little part of the whole story. And I think it's kind of almost short-sighted to think that living matter can be something that maybe you can learn, but maybe you don't have to. I would actually claim that it might be even more important at this stage in the state of science to learn about biology and physical biology than maybe to learn about solid-state physics, just because of the huge scope of problems that are unsolved and that might lead to potential new discoveries or new tools. Okay, so I really think that living matter is something that should be learned in physics departments. But okay, you can still take elective courses. And one thing that I did in Argentina is I took this course in biophysics, which I really liked at that time, but now that I look at it in retrospect, I think there were a couple of things missing. One of them is that this course was kind of based on this idea of using a biological problem to solve a cool homework problem in physics. I was looking back at the homework sets I had, and they were basically physics homeworks. Okay, so just as an example of something, one thing we did is we were presented with some data on, sorry?
Could you move your laptop down?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure. Okay. Can you guys read now?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Okay. So basically we were presented with this data on electrical bursting in pancreatic cells. So they showed us the data, some series of electrical bursts. And what we did is, okay, we brought a model for it, and we analyzed the model looking for the parameters in parameter space that would give you that behavior. We reproduced that behavior, and that was it. Okay, so that was the end. Then we moved on. And my point here is that this wasn't built around a biological story. I have no way of being able to tell if this is a relevant or irrelevant problem for biology, and that comes back to Bruce's argument. And this is definitely not talking to biologists. This is something which is just interesting for physicists, maybe even just as a dynamical systems course. Okay, so I particularly think that it's a lot better if one is interested in actually understanding life or living matter, to build your models around the biological story. And that's what happened at Caltech. So there I took the physical biology course that Rob teaches, and I've also created a couple of times now. And just as an example, this is
actually an example.
We were interested, one of the things we were presented with is all this set of quantitative data regarding the process of DNA ejection by bacteriophage. And basically what we did is, based on that, we came up with a simple model that, based on the mechanical and electrical properties of DNA, would lead to predictions about the forces inside the capsid, predictions that can be verified experimentally, and also predictions on how things would scale with the size of the capsid, size of the genome, and stuff like that. So this is definitely an approach that I found more interesting. Because, again, it makes an emphasis on this art of building your model around the story. One letdown, though, and this is, again, something that has been discussed today, is that physicists, like simple stories. But sometimes I get the feeling that sometimes we can be arrogant about it and think that the reason biology stories are complicated is because biologists like them that way. Okay, so we have to be careful. I learned this phrase the other day. We have to be careful not to throw away the baby with the bathwater. Okay, so we have to be careful not to oversimplify things. I think there is something to that complexity that biologists use to describe biological stories. All right.
But
definitely, for sure, the experience that changed me the most was going to the MBO physiology course. And what this is a course that is one of the big traditions in biology, which is basically you spend a summer. It's like a summer camp, like a science summer camp. You go there for 7 weeks, and you're there working 6 days a week. And you work side by side with professors and other students who bring, these professors bring their problems they're interested in for their own research, and they spend pretty much all the time with you. And it makes sense, because they're like really excited about it, and they're also really excited about having intelligent and excited people thinking about their problems all the time. So it's a really, really good atmosphere. And so I wanted to show you, just to give you an idea. So this is, it sounds like it's a lot of work. It's like you're actually working a lot, but you're also having a lot of fun. I think it's a really nice union between the two things. So what I wanted to show you is a little movie that Dyke Mullins made. Dyke Mullins was one of the professors at this course. How do I do this? Oh, there you go. I don't know if this sound, because I don't think I should have asked for sound, I guess. Let's see. So this movie takes 3 minutes, and let me see. This is typical lab. So that's Tim Mitchinson, one of the directors. The other director is Ron Bell. So it's not all work. That's the Virgin Mary, don't know, using frap on cells. That's something to analyze, spectral microscopy. And every 2 weeks, when a session is over, when a set of professors leaves, each one of us gives a presentation on what we did that week. And after that, you go play softball, for example. So there's this classical match, physiology against embryology, which we won last year. This is Claire Waterman's story, by the way. All right. That's the local bar. There's only one bar, actually, worth going to. And yeah, it's been going on for a long time. Maybe that was the end of it. I don't know what happened there. Okay, the movie died, but that's okay. All right, so the question is, can we reproduce something like that in a university environment? And I think it's really hard to reproduce an experience like that just with a course that meets twice a week for a couple of hours, right? I really think that something like this is really, really, enormously better than this, the courses you would take in universities. I can think of a course in a university that would have changed the way I view research in such a drastic way. All right, so what I got out of Woods Hole, besides, yeah, playing softball and stuff like that. So I got to work with biologists on real biology problems, okay? So, and one really interesting thing there is that the learning process is, when you do an experiment, is not based around learning a technique, which is completely valid, okay? So you can come up with a cool experiment because you want to use it as an excuse to learn cloning, okay? But I think there's a little bit more to gain from viewing a problem, so thinking of one problem you have and learning the techniques you need to solve that problem. In this case, I really like these videos. Basically, we ask a question about a certain property of the phosphate pathway of yeast, and we had to figure out, well, how do you take movies? How do you analyze? How do you take data out of those single cell movies? All right. So I think there's a lot to gain from this mentality, and this is hard to achieve with Kant experiments, with those kinds of module experiments. There was one letdown from the physiology course. And that is that I think there was an overrepresentation of computational techniques. I'm not saying there isn't stuff to gain from that, but definitely when I would talk to a biologist and they would think of modeling, they would think of sitting down in front of a computer and plugging in some numbers in a huge system of equations. And I really don't believe that you can generate intuition out of looking at a system of 13 coupled partial differential equations. It's really hard. Instead, I think physics has also a lot to offer in terms of coarse graining, of being able to decide or to determine what are the parameters that are important and disregarding the other ones. And just as an example, say you want to describe something related to DNA mechanics, which is something I do quite often. So you don't need to know the position and force on each atom. You might be okay with just describing it as an elastic rod and having just one parameter, which is its persistence length or its flexibility. And in fact, one interesting thing is that Rob's going to be teaching this there this year, and I'm going to be TAing with him, and we hope to put a little bit of that view in the course. All right, so one last thing that we've been doing, and this is basically the physical biology lab that Rob and I have been teaching for the last 2 years together with Tristan. So this course is basically, there's one version, just as Rob says, one version for undergrads and grad students during the term, and there's also this intense one-week course for postdocs, professors, and grad students from physics and engineering backgrounds. And the idea of the bootcamp is to try to emulate the intensity of Woods Hole. Okay? We have our limitations, of course. We're learning a lot in the process. But we're also trying to focus on the importance of asking the right question. And here an example would be that, maybe this is an oversimplification, but if you ask a question that has to do with building a system using genetics, using cloning, so pretty much you have all the tools for that developed, okay, more or less. So it's more about making sure that you're asking a question that is relevant to before you actually start doing the cloning. There were two letdowns, or two ways I think I let down the students. One is that this mentality of, so there's so little time that your experiments have to be kind of prepared. So they miss on all the things that are happening backstage. Okay, just like Rob was telling about the Julie coming and we were looking at the stereo trajectories. Basically what they did is they would spot a sample of the extract with Listeria on the slide and look at it. So there's a little part missing, which is how do you get to have such a clean and reproducible system in the first place? How much work had to happen behind stages? The other thing, and this is something that I really think about a lot, and I still feel like I'm not entirely happy with how we do this, is that I feel there's a lack of feedback of the quantitative data into the quantitative models. Okay, and this is something that I think has mostly to do with lack of time. You need more time, you need people that are more involved on a longer time scale to achieve that. All right, so what do we need to make things better in interdisciplinary education? I think, and yeah, I'm going to try to exaggerate the statements here, so maybe I can provoke some discussion. I think universities definitely have to try, or they must find a way to reproduce the intensity of courses like Woods Hole. I think there's so much to gain from that, nothing to lose and a lot to gain mentality that you have Woods Hole, where you can just play with stuff and learn a lot in the process. I also think that physics curriculum must include physics, biology, physical biology. I think that it would be, I think it's short-sighted to think that living matter is something separate from any other kind of matter. This part has to do with what Eli was saying, that we have to convince biologists that their quantitative data has to be addressed by quantitative models. And the last point I wanted to say, and basically it was cool, because I was saying about using must in all the statements here, and I found this statement in Bio 2010, which says biology, life science major must acquire a much stronger foundation in the physical sciences and mathematics than they now get. And one idea is that, and this has to do with what Bill was saying, is you learn the tools, but you have to use them. Okay, otherwise you forget them. So again, maybe it's not necessary to learn. Maybe you can learn the quantitative tools as you learn the biology. Maybe it's not necessary to learn general relativity to learn differential geometry. Maybe you can learn about it in the context of memory mechanics, or maybe you can learn about path integrals in the context of addressing how a certain biological polymer behaves. All right. So, and just to finish, I would like to acknowledge that all these people have been really helpful in the process of learning. And in chronological order, it goes grad school, college, and high school, actually. And there will be all. Any questions?
Small number of questions, yeah, Michael.
What fraction of biology can they learn this way, I think?
This way? Or?
Yeah, you're suggesting including physical biology in physics. What fraction of biology would learn this way that you're describing?
I think in that sense, first, the approach of Caltech for undergrads is definitely good, forcing you to take a little bit of everything. I guess when I'm thinking about physical biology, I'm thinking about maybe focusing more on processes, on the generality of processes, rather on a wide biology curriculum. All right, so just saying, finding some case studies that show you the huge scope of possibilities that you can find in biology, and maybe focusing on the open questions on where one thinks that most of the scientific community is interested, or one thinks that there's more possibilities for quantitative, for addressing a system quantitatively.
In addition to regular biology, you want to
talk about
biology.
Yeah, but I think definitely, sorry? So actually, I gotta say, I haven't taken any biology courses at all. So even out with Sol, I mean, what I would do is either I bug people a lot, I ask a lot of questions, or every.
I have a question along these lines. In the L course, what's the prerequisites
It requires basically your average physics graduate student that actually doesn't know which end of pi cap is the
Not really. Yeah. No, absolutely. Like, they actually, it's 7 weeks, so every 2 weeks you have a new set of professors, of three professors, but the first week was centered on learning like 2 days of intense biochemistry, 2 days of intense computation, which would be image analysis or doing a little bit of differential equations, and 2 days of microscopy, and that's, and you learn as you go. And yeah, I gotta say, at that point I knew how to use a pipette, because I had actually gone through the experience of teaching once this course and doing a little bit of experiments on the side. But I don't think that's limiting at all. And
in the way it sounds like, you know, why should the universities actually develop this curriculum locally? Well, maybe we need to expand the capacity of MBLs of this world.
Maybe each university can have something like that. Absolutely. And that comes back with what Rob was suggesting. Maybe it would be better to teach this in a 3 week intensive way.
But the Witzel courses work in part because of the student faculty ratios.
Yes, I think that's
expanding.
Shall we move on?